following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. A beautiful bouquet of roses is perfect to send for any occasion. Oh, I know, we all send them on birthdays, and we all send them on anniversaries. But why don't you just send them because? 1-800-Flowers.com. Every order is backed by a 100% smile guarantee. I use them. Guys, here's the easiest way to cut through with a woman in your life. Send those flowers on a random Tuesday, and Tuesday night, how you doing? Take care of business, people. For a limited time, 1-800-Flowers.com has created an amazing offer just for my listeners. Order one dozen multicolored roses. Get an extra dozen roses and a glass vase for free. 24 fresh, beautiful roses and a vase for $29.99. Hurry to get the offer. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio mic, upper right side, enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name, Colin. Why wait for an anniversary or a birthday? 1-800-Flowers.com.
Previously on the Doug and Daddy Show.
If you try to pull what you did yesterday and tap me on the shin guard again, we will go.
So you can guess what happened. So despite Daddy being gone for unknown reasons, the Doug and Daddy Show rolls on. It's just disappointing that we'll miss Daddy's gems like...
that China must have a hell of a bunch of trees. When I dream about the moonlight of the Wabash, my Indiana home. You only put honey on biscuits from Kentucky Fried Chicken. What else do you use honey for? We're going to Oregon, then we're going to Washington, then we're going down to California. Yeah!
So today we'll depend on our fearless leader, Doug Duda.
But why would that be the only thing you put out there?
Well, I'm more than willing to help generate conversation.
Really? You have no facts. Don't give me some BS.
Well, okay then. It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth.
And happy Halloween, everybody. Glad to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is a Monday, the final day of October. And coming up today, we'll talk with Jeff Ashby, the head football coach at Giltner, who I believe has the most interesting matchup of any of the area teams that are still left in the state football playoffs in round two with Humphrey St. Francis, a team that's only loss came at the hands of Howells by 6 points. Way too early for two teams of this magnitude, this talented teams, to be playing in the playoffs, but they are, and that's the way things will be. We'll talk with Jeff about that, how his season has moved along in a Wednesday's matchup. Also, we've got a little Husker treat for you. Apparently Lance Thorell did something on Saturday. I was fairly unaware of that. So and Bo Pelini's press conference, but also Doc Sadler spoke this morning. John Cook is going to be speaking in a little bit, and this will maybe be a little more interesting than Coach Cook has been, because for the first time that I can remember, there is some controversy this morning. His daughter, Lauren, setter on the volleyball team, outstanding volleyball player, arrested yesterday. Yeah, not just pulled over, not just speeding, arrested. And here's what the Lincoln Journal Star has to say. Leaving the scene, she was driving under suspension, leaving the scene of an accident where two motorcyclists were injured. Police Captain David Beggs says the setter struck a motorcycle that had pulled over to the side just before noon on Sunday. One person on the motorcycle suffered a broken leg. The other person was treated at the scene for abrasions. Officers pulled Cook over at the intersections of 14th and Alvo Road. And from what I've been told in the past, that's near where she lives. So she was probably heading home. She was lodged in jail on suspicion of leaving the scene of an injury accident and driving under suspension. She was released from jail by last night. The Lincoln Journal Star did contact Coach John Cook. He said he was aware of the situation and asked whether he will comment. He said, quote, "I'll comment at the appropriate time if there is an appropriate time." Coach Cook has entered the room here in Lincoln, and I think what we're going to do today, with a lot still to go on, is take you to Lincoln, because I'm sure this will be one of the first things that they do address here with Coach Cook. When he puts the microphone on and starts to speak, we'll swing you to Lincoln. Plus, in the second half of the show, Bo Pelini's press conference. Plus, the UNK volleyball team, huge win for them over the weekend. And for the Huskers, they went 1-1. As we figured, no surprise losing at Penn State. All right, let's go to Lincoln.
It's like this. I wish my kid was a sorority girl. and this wouldn't probably be a big deal, but I want to make a couple comments about one of our players who was in the paper today. Obviously, I'm aware of it. It occurred yesterday around noon, and we're working through the legal process on this, and that's why I can't really say a whole lot about this, but contrary to report yesterday, or I saw today, I want to clarify a few things, is that we got home at 3 in the morning from Penn State. Some of our players get up Sundays and go to treatment, just like the football team does. It all happens around 11:45. Lauren got up and was heading to the stadium. There was an accident. She was not pulled over by the police. She stopped and called 911, and took it from, you know, and so maybe so tried to do the right thing, and you know, so there was no alcohol, no drugs. She was not texting, and in no way, you know, is this an excuse, but an accident happened, and you know, we'll let the legal process go through that. And like I said, she was on her way to the training room to get treatment. This has happened with athletes here before, and I'm sure it'll happen again. You know, that's all really I can say right now, and got to let the legal process work itself through. She's still on the team, if you're worried about that. We have procedures in place here at the athletic department with our program that how we deal with these things, and that's our business, and with our team and our staff and Coach Osborne, and we've already had discussions about it, and we move forward. A comment about Penn State. They played great. It was a great environment. It's a tough road trip. I think it's the toughest road trip in college volleyball, playing two ranked teams and having to deal with the travel we had to deal with. We were pretty much in a plane for about 6 hours on Saturday, getting there and getting home. And but Penn State played great, and they took it to us, and we're hoping we can be better after that match. And all of our goals are still in place. And I think the three top teams in the rankings all lost. And I think several other top 10 teams lost. So it was a crazy weekend in a lot of ways for volleyball. And we got to regroup this week and get ready to play the Michigans.
As a dad, how much do you feel for your daughter right now?
You know, I look at this, she's one of our players. I'm not going to bring the personal family side into this, because this is one of our players. And it doesn't matter whether it's Lauren or any one of our other players. It's part of coaching, and you know, probably 95% of the volleyball programs, we wouldn't be having a press conference and even talking about this. But this is Nebraska. It's one of the great things about being here is people care, and you are, you know, when you can be in the limelight, and hopefully most of the time it's positive, and sometimes it can be negative.
John, did you know that her license had been suspended?
I can't comment about any of that. Like I said, I told you what I'm going to tell you about what happened, and we're moving forward from there. And there's a legal process that goes on here that goes through all this. So,
why didn't she call police immediately when the accident happened?
Like I said, I'm not gonna comment on that, because that's. We still don't have all the facts, and like I said, the legal process has to work on this.
John, when was the 911 call made?
Yes, that's all I'm going to say. If we want to talk volleyball, I'm good to go. Otherwise, that's it.
Is she going to play this weekend?
That we're working through with how we're going to resolve that, and like I said, we have procedures in place, and we have ways we deal with that, and we'll depends how fast we can get through all that.
If she does not play, who's in her place?
Bridget Root.
Talk about having her as the starter.
Well, all right, there's John Cook at his press conference. He always talks before Bo Pelini, always at this time, and as he said, most of the time this wouldn't be a big deal. We'll find out more. it was an accident, and that's what they want to leave it. And I can understand that as a coach, and especially, I'm sure, from Coach Cook as a father here. He doesn't want this to be overblown. Now we just got to find out how serious it is, and we'll find out more. Everybody is okay, although there was an accident, there was an injury, and we'll just have to see how this plays out. Lorne may not be able to play in this weekend's ball game, so that is Coach John Cook at his weekly press conference in Lincoln, live here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Glad you're along with us. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on the Husker football team? I imagine that there won't be a whole lot of emails and calls today about Nebraska football, because nothing bad happened on Saturday. Nebraska went out and played one of their most complete games of the season. Now you can say, like Mark May, he's just a terrible analyst. He's just a terrible, terrible analyst. How Mark May is employed by ESPN, and yes, this does hit home as a Husker fan growing up and covering Nebraska football now, he's just not good. He's inaccurate with a variety of things that he says about a variety of different teams. My God, if you are on the set with Lou Holtz, and Lou Holtz is a better analyst than you, then you have a problem. Anyway, Nebraska's Taylor Martinez didn't have a great passing game. He didn't need to have a great passing game. That was not the game plan in this football contest. It was Nebraska going out, running the ball with Rex Burkhead, almost a school record for attempts, carries, rushes in a football game. Three touchdowns, including one through the air, and Nebraska's defense comes in, and that's why they were favored. You never know why, but all of a sudden their defense shuts down what was supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Kirk Cousins. Time and time again, he had to overthrow, dump the ball off, throw into double coverage. Nebraska could have made it even worse by getting a couple of more interceptions in this game that were in their hands, but nonetheless, Nebraska wins 24-3. Now the big game on their schedule is in 2 weeks against Michigan, because Michigan still has a lot of their toughest opponents still to play. But Nebraska obviously controls their own destiny about going to Indianapolis. And with Wisconsin losing, Penn State is in the driver's seat. Wisconsin and Ohio State all still have a chance to make it into that Big Ten championship game, where 2 weeks ago we thought that Wisconsin was a lock. Strange world. That's why we love the world of sports. Subdistrict volleyball gets going across the state today. High school football gets into the second round. We're going to talk with Jeff Ashby of Giltner. Plus, little Husker recap, Lance Thorell style, when we come back.
Okay, JCPenney knows you don't like ads for clothes, but dressing with style is something every man should know. Right up there with how to use a pocket knife and drive a stick shift. So listen up and we'll plow right through this. JCPenney takes the mystery out of looking great with Life Khaki by Haeger. From laid-back chinos to dressed-up trousers, Life Khaki's got the pants you need for just about anything. And starting now until Saturday, Life Khaki pants are only $36.99. JCPenney, everybody wins. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends November 1st.
Suddenly, it's hip to spend $15 on a frou-frou hamburger? It's like fluff and flash are more important than something you can sink your teeth into. But there's hope. It's that little old lady inside all of us just begging to yell, "Where's the beef?" Same place it's always been, Wendy's. And now we've made our classic cheeseburgers even thicker, hotter, and juicier than ever before, with premium toppings on a buttered toasted bun. Introducing Dave's Hot and Juicy, only from Wendy's. At participating Wendy's.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Monday night, it's an AFC West battle when Phillip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers head to Kansas City to take on Matt Castle and the Chiefs. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Join Boomer Esiason and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth for all the action. Can San Diego rebound from a tough loss to the Jets? Or will Kansas City find themselves right back in the divisional hunt after three consecutive wins? Chargers, Chiefs, if it's Monday Night Football, it's right here
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures top off at about 69. Winds out of the south will also be developing around 10 to 15. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll head back to a low of 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, it's 52.
Plan
Lance Terrell! Lance Terrell! Lance Terrell!
Empty backfield now. Cousins awaits the shotgun snap. He has it. Holds. Over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Lance Terrell. 45. 40. Lance Terrell to the outside. 30-yard line. Knocked out of bounds. Lance Terrell. His first career INT. On second and goal for the one. Martinez turns. Hands it off. Burkhead left side. Walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Nebraska. Rex Burkhead gives it back to Baker off the side. Huskers cover. Andrew Green. A loss of two. Knocks him down at the 40-yard line. What a start by Andrew Green. Back to throw is Cousins. Holding, looking, going downfield, looking for Cunningham. He goes up. Ball knocked away at the last second. Stafford was there. So was Siontae Evans. Now Wildcat set. Burkhead awaits the snap. On second and 10, Marlowe in motion. They give it off to Marlowe off the jet motion. On 35, Marlowe to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Tim Marlowe knocked out of bounds inside the 5-yard line at the 1-yard line. Tim Marlowe takes the handoff for 39 yards. Mangieri grabs the pig, snaps it back, kick is up, and the kick is good. And Nebraska does take a 2-score lead. Snap back to Kirk Cousins. Holds, pump fakes, double move, throws it deep downfield, looking for Cunningham. Batted away at the last second. Alfonso Dinard on the coverage. Fakes the stretch play, rolls the pocket to the near side. Looking for Cunningham downfield. Now scrambling out. Now gets hit and goes down. That's a covered sack for the Big Red. Baker Steinkuhler. Cousins looking, pumping, throwing deep downfield. Looking for Cunningham. He goes up. The pass is knocked away again by Alfonso Dinard. Another three and out for the Husker defense. Stretch play to Bell trying to get to the outside. Compton hits him and drops him at the 10. What a play by Will Compton. Option. Martinez racing to the edge. Keeps it. Now makes a late pitch to Burkhead. 35. He's got a first down. Down to the 30-yard line. Huskers run it for 12 yards and a first down. Taylor tosses it back to Burkhead off the right side of the 5. Runs over a man. Down to the 1-yard line. Rex Burkhead fighting forward for 8 yards. It's second and goal. Huskers trying to go on a quick count. High formation. Martinez tosses it back to Burkhead. He finds the ball. The ball pops out near the goal line. Michigan State's got the football.
After further review, the ball broke the plane of the goal line prior to coming loose.
Snap back to Cousins. Has some time. Nobody open. He's hit and dropped at the midfield. Sacked by Eric Martin. Gets his first sack of the year. Snap back to Tater. Look, sets, throws. It's a wide receiver screen to Bell. Makes a catch. 40, 35, 30. Kenny Bell's got a first down. Down to the 27-yard line. Back to throw is Martinez. Looking to throw it back down the field. Rex makes a catch. 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. The wheel route to Rex Burkhead and the Huskers. Add 6 more on the board. Cousins gets a snap, steps up, runs right into the rush and goes down. Eric Martin, his second sack of the game. Cousins in the gun, gets a snap, flushed out of the pocket, hit by Meredith, goes down. Cameron Meredith, fourth sack of the year, back at the 27-yard line. So the Huskers win it, 7-1 now are the Big Red. They are tied with Michigan and Michigan State atop the Legends Division. 24-3 the final, Big Red over the Spartans. Lance Terrell!
Yeah, I thought Lance played a heck of a football game.
And Big 2-3 will join us on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Lance Terrell, as well as UNK and Hastings College coaches, is Daryl Morris and Tony Harper. Big wins for both teams, and congratulations to the Broncos knocking off 17th-ranked Doan this weekend. And just a couple of games left for both of the ball clubs with a lot of different things to play for. And we'll be talking with the coaches tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Folks, don't forget, if you're kicking back like Tony La Russa is now, retired from the St. Louis Cardinals, do it in comfort with a Lazy Boy or Lane recliner, or maybe a new bedroom set. Get that Serta mattress, living room set, something for the den. It's all at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. There's no after-the-sale add-ins or add-ons. There's no fine print, because the price of a piece of furniture or mattress is that price, with great deals every single day. Visit any one of the Bruce Furniture stores and receive free in-home interior design service, in-home trial period before you make your purchase, and you don't even need to move the furniture or clear a room before your Bruce Furniture delivery, because they'll do it all for you. Find out more online, brucefurniture.com. Check out their Facebook page, or just stop by and see the friendly staff at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. And not having any time to sit back and relax is Giltner head football coach Jeff Ashby as they get ready for what we said at the end of last week and the beginning of the show today is the most intriguing division second round matchup in the D2 playoffs here in Wednesday night. And Jeff, congratulations first off on a great season so far, and welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is this nervous time, or how do you approach this? Everybody in the state, including us, wants to make a big deal of how two great teams that are in the top five in the state of Nebraska are meeting in this second round via luck of the draw. Do you guys emphasize the importance of this, or how do you look at this football game?
Well, we're taking it one game at a time, of course, but we had a feeling about 2 weeks ago that we were going to get this draw and we were going to have to take on the whole Highway 91 football team. So we knew it's going to be pretty tough to get through there. And, you know, the football playoff system, I don't know, it's got to be fixed somehow.
Well, Coach, you guys have done everything that you could possibly do this season, and you just continue to rack up points. There's no doubt about that. It all started by getting that ball in the air a couple of years ago. Has your offense changed at all over the last couple seasons?
No, it hasn't changed one bit. And as a matter of fact, St. Francis is the reason that I changed my offensive philosophy, you know, about 13 years ago. They kept a great Polk Hordeville team of mine out of the state championship game when they beat us in the semifinals. And we'd only scored 14 points that game, and six of them came off of a kick return. So I had a lot of sleepless nights after that game and second-guessing myself. And I thought, you know, I never want to just ever score only 14 points in a football game again. So that's kind of how my offense has evolved.
Giltner head football coach Jeff Ashby with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, do you look at the St. Francis Howells tape, or do you look at other tapes?
We look at every game that they've played, you know, this season, and see what we can pick up. But teams like St. Francis and Howells, it's a good and bad deal when you watch film. I mean, it's good. Teams like that, they're easy to prepare for because they do about five things. And the bad thing is they do them really, really well. So you got to figure out a way to stop them. You know, you got to execute on defense, and it's tough. When teams do that, they do it for a reason, and they just keep chipping away at you, and they're patient and things like that. So it makes it tough on your defense to try to get three and out. So we really got to work hard. And they got great athletes, you know, all over the field. They got eight great athletes. You know, usually you can pick out a weakness here or there, but all eight of their guys are just solid.
So if you look at a football team like, and everybody, including us, just wants to look at 12-6. I mean, oh my God, they held, it was 12-6 against Howells. That's just incredible. Can you make this an up-tempo game? Can you put points on the board Wednesday?
Well, we're hoping so. You know, Howells held us to 20 points last season in the state semifinals, and we scored 20 of those points in the first half, and we didn't score any in the second half. So hopefully we can and keep that, at least get those 20 points and score in the second half, you know, Wednesday night. So, yeah, it's tough. We're hoping, you know, we got some things in place, and we hope with all our weapons, and we spread the ball around. Coach Drew is our offensive coordinator, and he does a great job moving the ball around. Last week against Lindsay Holy Family, they were off guard all the time. So hopefully we can do the same thing so we can keep them from, you know, getting all eight guys to the ball at once and get our guys out in space and make plays.
Giltner head football coach Jeff Ashby with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready to host Humphrey St. Francis Wednesday night at 6. You can hear it on the Breeze 94.5 FM online, PlatteRiverPreps.com. The winner of that's going to get Howells in the state quarterfinals, and then you're looking at Pawnee City possibly in the semifinals. D2 so deep, so many good teams. And if you haven't heard of Drew Ott, then you're not paying attention to football or sports in general. Jeff, how has he handled everything that comes along with being a Division I recruit this year?
Oh, you know, he really doesn't think a whole lot about it. You know, he's been so focused on this team winning a state championship, you know, after getting beat by Howells last year in the state semifinals. And that's kind of the reason he got his recruiting out of the way back in June. He wanted to focus on this, and this is the most important thing to him right now. And he just goes out every week and does what he has to do for this football team.
And not just Drew, but a lot of these kids, when you, and there's so many teams around this year, more than ever, it seems like, that are just rolling opponents and not going into the fourth quarter. How can you tell if this team is getting better or these individuals are getting better?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you can see things on tape that we're getting better, but, you know, how we're going to handle a four-quarter game, yeah, that I don't have a clue, because we just haven't had to yet, and this Wednesday is really going to – it definitely be a four-quarter game, so hopefully conditioning-wise we're ready for it. I think the guys are ready. I mean, they've been in the situation, but not this year. You know, we played Howells last year and Bloomfield and those teams that made us work all four quarters, and, of course, Pawnee City in there also, so – they've been there, just not this year. So we're executing pretty well. I mean, you still got to execute and do your techniques, and we watch that on film, and we tell them if they're doing something wrong, and they know that what happened in regular season is not going to happen from here on out.
We're talking with Jeff Ashby for just another minute here. How big is it to have this game at home? Can you do different things at home than if you had to go up into that, as you said, Highway 91 hotbed?
Yeah, I mean, if the wind is, it looks like weather is going to be a factor Wednesday night, and if wind is a factor, we do have a pretty good wind break on the north side of our football team or field, so that helped us a little bit, whereas if we had to play in Humphrey, there's no protection up there, so that plays into our favor big time if the wind's going to be an issue.
And how's the health of your team right now?
We're very healthy, and, you know, we're ready to go. We got some bumps and bruises, but other than that, we're really healthy, and you know, we got about 9 guys that are ready for games like this. And so if we get injuries, it could cause us some problems.
Finally, Jeff, for the fans that are coming over to watch this great football game on Wednesday night, you've talked about how physical St. Francis is, obviously. What's something else that the fans, whether it's a player or a scheme, what are they going to notice right away that St. Francis does well?
Oh, they just they do everything well. They're special teams. Their special teams are really good. They've got a playmaker and Derek Pfeiffer, their running back, and he can make things happen. And their quarterback, he's a Kring's kid. He's a southpaw, so that, you know, that's something we haven't seen this season. But they're going to see physicality from a St. Francis team that, you know, our fans haven't seen all year from teams that we have played.
Jeff, this is deep as D2's been since you've been on this run with Giltner.
Oh yeah, it's just unbelievable. What this D2 has presented for us, and of all the seasons, you know, I can't remember, you know, 5, 6, you know, great football teams like this in it, you know, and you got 3 of them in one quarter section, so it's something else.
You don't know anybody on the board that you could have bribed to get into the West?
Well, we were score watching the last week of the season because we needed Parkview Christian and Harvard to win their last games, and Parkview won in the afternoon, and so that left Harvard to win, and had Harvard won, we would have been in the West, but they didn't quite get the job done against Hampton, so we ended up in the East. So, but I told the boys, like I said, you know, if we can get through this whole thing and get to Memorial Stadium, there isn't anybody say that we didn't earn it.
There's no doubt about it. To whoever puts the trophy on their mantle this year, maybe the toughest one they've ever earned. So, Jeff, we wish you guys the best of luck, and hopefully win number 10 comes your way Wednesday night.
Okay, well, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Jeff Ashby of the Giltner Hornets. They have built a great tradition and a great program, and it's not just Drew Ott. They've got some really, really, really good kids. Logan Rath. I mean, you're going to have kids that would be first-team All-State in a couple of classes, not be first-team All-State in D2, because obviously if Howells does what everybody expects him to do, half the 8-man team will be of Howells. I mean, you got Howells, Humphrey, St. Francis, now Pawnee City's in there. You can't overlook Giltner, Sargent's in there. I mean, as we've said time and time again, and that's just the way it is, sorry, D1, I would put your champion up against any of those teams in D2, and you would probably be an underdog. And maybe a Kennesaw can prove me wrong on that, or a Garden County or somebody like that as we move along, a Pender in D1. But we'll find out. There's going to be some really good games, and that's one of them, Kennesaw. Alma's going to be another one. I think Shelton out at Garden County, which is our first game Wednesday here on ESPN at 2:30, is going to be a good one as well. Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show, so stay with us. But before we head to our final break here before the press conference, let's go to the Dead Popper inbox. Aaron and Carney says, how about them Huskers? It was the most electric the stadium has been since Missouri last year. Great job, Husker fans, and now we have to keep that going, get people standing again like they used to. It was very exciting. Aaron goes on to say, Burkhead is a beast. He's a workhorse and has a motor that should remind you of a Makovic brother. Great, great back. And Cowturd is a huge ass. Okay, thanks for that, Aaron and Carney. Then Irish Ken Howdy, boys. He goes, Doug, you were on a roll by trashing that idiot Mark Bay, but then you ruined it by your unkind words to my man Lou Holtz. And as far as Lauren Cook is concerned, an accident is an accident. However, driving on a suspended license is something else. Irish Ken. Email us to the Dent Popper inbox anytime, home of the Armor Lining. Stop by and see the boys today on the Bricks downtown, Kearney. And the email address, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. If you were at the stadium on Saturday, I think you would see a couple of things that you would not have noticed on a television from the football game. Bo Pelini really... And I don't know why, and he wasn't asked about this because you don't want to get into the personal stuff. It is really one of the things that Bo doesn't like talking about. But as we walk onto the field after the game, players are coming off, the media goes across the field from the press box down below to the press conference area down in the weight room on the north side, underneath the north stadium. You get to see a lot of what happens, the prayer, the interaction, the post-game television interview usually for coach. And then his family's there waiting for him, and it just seemed like a longer embrace, more meaningful embrace, like he hadn't seen the wife or the kids for, you know, a year, like you're coming home from a stint overseas for 6 months. I mean, it was different than what we see even from the Ohio State. And Bo Pelini then did gesture to the fans as he went into the tunnel, a gesture that you'd want to see, the arm raised, the double kind of fist pump, which immediately it's like a rock concert when you get the encore. The fans, as usual, cheering the team as they come out. And as soon as Bo puts his arm in the air, they just go absolutely bonkers. And it just puts an electricity into a stadium that I guess made an 11 o'clock kickoff all worth it. And he keeps saying process. Big Daddy, who's out today, doesn't like the word, but I think he's starting to understand it. It's a process, and you can see this team is getting better. And you welcome in Northwestern, and even though they have Dan Persa, this is the type of quarterback that Kirk Cousins is. You have to feel comfortable in this 2:30 game on the Big Ten Network coming up this Saturday. Let's take a break and be back with Bo Pelini after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Colin Cowherd. With everybody working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. But not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from any computer, an iPad, and now from an iPhone or any Android mobile device, too. With the free GoToMeeting app, anybody can attend your online meeting sessions. Just tap the email invitation. They'll join instantly. It's that easy. This new GoToMeeting app is fantastic. I can see the host's desktop right from my smartphone or my tablet, so I can attend the meetings on the go. I could be in a taxi. I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. Go to the App Store, Android Market, download the free app, and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere, and host your own meetings with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. Everybody's working on the go. Impromptu meetings are no problem with GoToMeeting by Citrix.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures top off at about 69. Winds out of the south will also be developing around 10 to 15. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll head back to a low of 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley. Right now, it's 52.
From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast.
Glad to have you on. It's Halloween. Glad to have you along with us. Don't forget, Bo Pelini is about ready to start his press conference tonight. Subdistrict Volleyball live on Classic Hits 98.9, the C18 over at Grand Island Northwest. Gibbon and Adams Central at 4:45, followed by Minden taking on St. Paul, and then the winner of Game 1 will take on Kearney Catholic in the final matchup. Josh in Kearney says, Lauren Cook incident better not affect our quarterback play. Yes, Lauren goes out with Taylor Martinez. So in case you didn't know that, there you go. Also, John says, good thing Lance Thorell is coming on your show tomorrow to make Big Daddy feel better, since there was a huge bird that, well, I'm not going to say that word, all over the Cowboys yesterday. It's okay. Dallas will play a cream puff team, and Roma will do great, and you Cowboy fans will feel good about yourselves again. John and Kearney. Yeah. I thought we were supposed to win like 8 games in a row, and then you play the Eagles, the dream team. Are you kidding me? They're still – good Lord. And then how good are the Rams? We beat the Rams, and then they turn around. They're on a 1-game winning streak. So Dallas has a tough, tough schedule. And, yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was just embarrassing last night to just get so outcoached and everything else. Just sad, sad. Oh, well, that makes me happy. Did I win?
No, you did not.
Big Dally's Deli Pigskin Pick'em, where I picked Ohio State. Oh, Mark and Holdridge comes through with 8-2.
Georgia Tech was the big one with Clemson.
God, he took Georgia Tech. Yeah, I missed SMU and June Jones. I had Clemson, and I had Cal. Nice. Cal and Utah. You can't figure either one of them out. Tony went 6-4. Merritt went 6-4. I went 7-3 and would have won because of the tiebreaker. So good job, Mark. 8-2. His only misses Georgia, Florida, and Wisconsin, Ohio State. So congratulations there. He is in for the bowl championship pick'em, which will bring you a grand prize to our winner from Misco's Sports in Kearney. Levante David named one of 16 semifinalists for the Chuck Bednarik Award. And Rex Burkhead, the Rivals.com Big Ten Player of the Week. Let's go to Lincoln. Bo Pelini hooking up for this week's press conference.
Sup, boy? I see you got your Halloween mask on. I could have sit and let you get the last one.
Hey, Bo. You know how many times that's going to be played on the radio now?
It's true. Scare the crap out of the whole city.
Is it easy to say, Coach, you wouldn't be making these jokes if we hadn't won on Saturday?
I would have anyway, believe me. I was going to wear my... That's what I'm going as for Halloween. Scare all the neighborhood kids. Put a Steve Sipple mask on. No, it's, you know, just like I said after the game, I told the team that, you know, this is not a time to, you know, we have a tough stretch ahead of us and got a good football team coming in here, a well-coached football team that we're going to be challenged. It'll be a good test for us, and we got to have a great week of practice and keep working to get better.
I know your plan changed early, but over the last couple of weeks, it seems as though you went back to some of the things that worked defensively last year, and you have another set defensive back on the field instead of a linebacker. Is that accurate? What made you guys kind of make the switch?
Well, I wouldn't say we made any switch. I mean, it's, you have to do what you have to do in every game plan, and you know, our third linebacker, like Fish, was ready to go in that game, and There's some packages where we use them. We haven't changed much what we did defensively from last year. I mean, little things here and there, obviously. And I think it comes down to execution, no matter who's in there. We have a lot of interchangeable parts on our defense and guys that can do multiple things. And we try and, you know, put our guys in the best situations to have success. So it's basically what we do. And play the guys' strengths worked out well for us last week. I thought we played well defensively.
How did you come out of that game, injury-wise, Siante, Yochi, and did Taylor hurt his hand?
No, we're okay. We're fine. I mean, you got your normal bumps and bruises, but, for the most part, we came out of it. You know, anytime you come out of a physical game like that, you're going to have some guys nicked up, but nothing long-term.
Well, Northwestern's spread, guys can probably use a lot of what you did in the Big 12 against
these guys, can't you? Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit different in some ways. Some of those things they do, they put a lot of stress on you. I think the quarterback's a really good player. He's elusive. He can make throws. It's a well-thought-out offense. I mean, they do some unique things in the running game. There's some similarities to what we've done, what we do offensively at times. Probably not as much in the run game, but they do some things that are fairly unique. It'll be a nice test for us. And, we got to play well. We got to practice well this week and get prepared.
What are your thoughts on Pat Fitzgerald and just the job he's done there to build stability in Northwestern?
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Pat. And I think he's a great coach and tremendous person. And obviously Northwestern knew what they were getting when they hired him. And I think he's an outstanding football coach. And like I said, I think he's a outstanding person. And so I have a lot of respect for him and their program and what he's done there.
Eric Martin had an impressive day. Good showing. Did you kind of see that coming?
Yeah, I thought Eric played well and challenged him to step up and I think he's been getting better. He got nicked up early in the year. Went through, he was playing really, really good at the beginning of camp and then went through some tough injury things that happened to him where he wasn't feeling very good. So he kind of dropped back off a little bit. And I think now he's getting healthy. He's in a lot better shape now because he missed a significant amount of time and so he didn't get a lot of reps there for a while. So I just think he's hitting his stride right now and playing with a lot of confidence. He's also doing a nice job on special teams. I don't know if you guys saw the way he started that football game, but that was a pretty good job of setting the tone for the game for us. It was a heck of a job by him.
Defensive line as a whole, is there anything you guys did differently in that game to have that success?
No, we mixed some things up. We tried to, came up with a little package there that we're moving our guys around, make the quarterback uncomfortable. We give some a different look to the offensive line, and I thought it worked well for us at times, I just thought our guys up front played pretty well. We've gotten nicked up there over the last couple of weeks. And those guys, we had a lot of different guys who had to step up and give us snaps and play well. And I thought they did. I thought they rose to the challenge as a group.
What did Andrew Green do to kind of get back to where he was Saturday in the weeks where he was not playing as much?
Prepared. Kept working. He's kept working. He's getting better. I thought he had a good week of practice. I thought Stanley had a good week of practice. Kind of went with the hot hand. And I thought our guys in the back end have really made a lot of strides over the last couple of weeks. And it's showing. They played well. Our back end played really well.
Did those guys just needed a couple of days to catch their breath and let them all soak in? open week in the Minnesota game to help them just kind of step back and let the game slow down a little bit?
I think so. I mean, you know, I've said all along, you know, I know you guys get sick of hearing me say it, but it's a process, and you don't panic. I believe the one thing I can get criticized for a lot of things. I have a pretty good idea about what it takes to play good defense, and over time you just stay the course, you don't panic. And eventually, you know, you get better as the year goes on. And I think our guys are playing with a lot of confidence right now. And I don't think we were early on. And for a lot of different reasons. And but I will tell you this: we're not the finished product. You know, we still got a ways to go. We still got a lot of things we can learn. And we're going to have to. You know, we're hitting a pretty rough stretch here, and really not just defensively but offensively and in all areas. We got to keep getting better and stay the course, and if we do, we'll be okay.
You always talk about approaching every single game the same way, but does it change or help a team's frame of mind when you guys are now really in control of the division?
You know, we honestly, Eric, we don't talk about it. We don't talk about all that stuff. All we talk about is what can you do today, and our approach today on a Monday is no different than had we gotten beat the other day, and you can only control what's in front of you right now, and our guys' mindset, hopefully, and what we talk to them about all the time is to look at the good things you did and learn from them and look at the things that you need to do to get better. And hopefully grow from the things that you didn't do quite so well. And so you hope that each week you make progress, you get a little bit better. The last thing, I think this week is going to be a tremendous challenge for us. I mean, to come back emotionally, there was a lot of hype surrounding that game for a lot of reasons. It was really the first game in our division and all those things. And the last thing you can do is... You know, the thing we have to fight is wanting to pat yourself on the back or feel like, okay, let's take a deep breath here. No, it's time to put the foot on the gas pedal and keep going. And that's a challenge for college students and kids that, tend to read the internet, read the papers and all those things, and people telling them, we have not arrived. We have a lot ahead of us and a lot that we need to do to keep getting better.
Along those lines, when you look at those black shirt deal, what are the things that you consider in deciding to give those things out?
Where you are, I mean, honestly, what I put a lot in stock of, more so than what happens on Saturday. I mean, that's always part of it because I think it's a culmination. I think it's how you practice, how you prepare. And you just look for you believe what the right time is. I really don't care what people outside think of when you should give them out or why you should give them out. I think it's something that you talk about as a staff, and when you feel like the time's right, you go for it.
So is that, are they coming out today?
I don't know.
Hey, well, kind of speaking about that, you have done it a different way with waiting until later on in the season. Do you think that kind of in some ways strengthens the social condition of the black shirt at Nebraska?
I would hope so. I mean, I said when I first got back here and I took, I wasn't the head coach at the time, it was Frank, and he kind of said, you handle it. I said that the black shirt should be something that needs to be earned. It's not some symbol that you're just granted. It's something that, we talk about, we talked about a lot last week as a whole football team, but about playing to a certain standard, and that to me that also means practicing to a certain standard, and I believe when you start approaching it, if we reach a standard that we want, no, we haven't, but it's when you start heading in that direction, when you're preparing well, when you're doing the right things, and to me that's a signal of guys get it, You know, who earns it? You know, that remains to be seen.
Hey, Bo, do you remember how you became familiar with that tradition? You know, I assume you didn't know anything about it, you know, until you got here. And then, you know, do you remember who talked to you or how you became familiar with it?
You know, I honestly, it was when I first got back here. You know, I was so removed from the college game that when I first came back here, you know, I don't remember who actually talked to me about it. But when I first came back here, and everyone was talking about black shirts, this, that, the other thing, and I remember asking somebody, you know, whoa, wouldn't we take a step back? Because there were people coming up to me and talking to me about black shirts, and I was like, yeah, I got a lot of black shirts. I didn't quite know what they were talking about, but yeah. So you know, I think it might have been Frank, Coach Olich, or you know, somebody, you know, obviously who's been around the program for a while and kind of gave me an idea of, you know, what I was walking into. And when you come from the outside, you're not quite sure. But I think it's a great tradition and something that you know, we've embraced and I think there's a pride about that goes along with the whole tradition that surrounds it.
I imagine that's something that when you talk to former players, that comes up a lot. You know, I mean, do you remember specific conversations with former defensive players about the tradition?
You know, I didn't know a lot of former players when I first got back here, and you know, I learned over time. But you know, you do talk to those guys. You know, because you know, our former players are around the program a lot now, and there is a tremendous pride that surrounds it, and you find out how important it is to the guys who have played and been a part of that tradition.
At times, it has seemed like it's been a little bit of a burden, you know, to you. You know, when questions come up about it, and you know, at times it seems like you know you don't really want to talk about it. Is there a downside to that tradition, you think?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm not real into distractions. I'm into keeping our guys in, you know, their mind on what their mind should be on. I just believe, you know, I personally like the way we've handled it. I think that, I just believe that, you know, we're the ones watching the film and the tape and kind of have an idea of what our standards are and what we want to have. And I wouldn't say it gets annoying, but you know, just the fact, you know, just the constant, you know, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Well, you know, I've said a lot of times when we feel the time is right, that's the right time. And you know, you don't want to just do it. You know, I always feel like anything you do in life, you don't do it just to do it, you know, just to appease somebody. You do it when you feel in your heart it's right. And that's kind of how we've tried to handle it.
Along the same lines of what Derek puts them up. When you do hand them out and you give them to the players, kind of from this, I don't know if they think about this, but it's an acknowledgement of the fact that they've met an expectation. do you worry about them not keep, you know, if they're always pushing for something, they achieved it finally, they got what they were working for, that then after that, the passion will be the rest.
Oh, I don't think that's, you know, I one thing our guys understand is you know, number one, you know, it's something you earn and you got to continue to earn. And, you know, just because you put the black shirt on or whatever, it doesn't change anything. What it should do is make you want to play that much harder to live up to the standards that surround that shirt. And being part of that tradition. So no, it's something that our kids, I believe, fully understand. They fully understand why when they're not in them, and they all fully understand what it means when you actually put one on.
How have we seen Taylor Martinez grow as a game manager over the course of this year? Especially, you know, in that game on Saturday when he had the two drives.
I think Taylor's come a long way in a lot of different ways. And that's one of the things I think he's done very well as the year's gone. I think he, you know, and I said that, you know, when early in the year when people were asking me, you know, I think he's, you know, light years of where he was a year ago. I think there's obviously a lot of areas he can grow in. and keep getting better at. But I think that's one of the things that I think that he's done really well is manage the offense. Especially, we put a lot on the quarterback in this offense, and meaning, you know, with the audible system, recognizing defense, getting us in and out of plays, the change of tempos, all those things. I think he's done that really well. But I think there's a lot more room for growth, too. I mean, you all know he hasn't, you know, like anybody else, he hasn't played perfect, and there's a lot of areas he needs to grow in. But I think game management is something he's done pretty well. Because to me, it comes down to the little things, the details of what he's being coached to do. And there are a lot of things that he's can improve upon, you know, in that area that isn't real obvious to the, you know, to the naked eye. You know, there's a lot of things that, a lot of details and things that, you know, week to week that he'd like to have back, but also presents with him great growth opportunities of learning. Because, you know, a lot of, you know, we get a lot of different types of offense and styles and things where, you know, he had a chance to put us in different plays or take the run the other way or whatever it may be. And those are all learning opportunities for a guy who has as much on his plate as we give to Taylor.
He said earlier he thinks he can score on every play. Now we see him sliding. We see him throwing the ball away out of bounds, avoiding sacks. How tough was that to change with his personality being?
It wasn't easy. And it's still a challenge at times, you know. He Taylor wants the ball in his hands. He wants to have the, you know, he has a lot of confidence in his abilities, but, you know, I think that's part of the maturity of somebody, especially at the quarterback position, is know when to and when not to. I think he's growing in that area. A lot of playing quarterbacks, decision making. And it's not easy when things are happening 100 miles an hour out there. And, you know, hope with experience, I think he's making progress and would be the first to tell you that, you know, he's learned a lot along the way and he's still got a lot to learn.
His throwing motion has been scrutinized so much. I mean, do you think it's a thing of beauty, and can you do anything to alter a guy's mechanics at this point in his life?
Yeah, you know, we continue. You know, you don't just overhaul his mechanics. I don't think his, you know, he has a couple habits that, you know, we're working on. It's a little, some of the time it's footwork. He can make all the throws. I don't care whether you throw it out there underhand. It's a matter of getting there. I think that, you know, sometimes you throw in motion and mechanics, and you listen to some of these guys talk on TV. We're not in the NFL right now, and it's a different style of offense. I mean, I hear everybody talk about Tim Tebow and his mechanics, everything. That guy might have been the best quarterback ever to play college football, at least as many football games as he's won. And you know, there's a lot of, you know, everybody's not the same. You're not going to sit there and just say, okay, let's take this guy and make it a robot. You know, like you know, everybody's not the same. Everyone's a little bit different, and Taylor has his style. Does that mean we can't tweak it? And, yeah, we continue to, and to me it comes down to mechanics and certain mechanics that he needs within his motion to keep getting better at. And a lot of those things are footwork, shoulder placement, those types of things that we talk to him about every day.
About Taylor's hard count.
What's that?
About Taylor's hard count.
I don't know, but we had to tone his hard count down because he was going to get called for it if he didn't get it toned down after the Minnesota game. So, you know, I think he taught it to himself, but we had to drop back a little bit so we didn't get some 5-yard penalties. But he's done a nice job of changing up his cadence and doing some of those things. So.
Quiet guy, he's been in front of us and public, but yeah.
Yeah, he's got that deep voice, like he's about a 70-year-old man when he's out there calling his cadence.
Hey, well, one Northwestern question. Have you watched film of Persa last year before his injury and now after his injury? And is he getting rid of the ball quicker, maybe not as mobile? Are you seeing anything different?
I'll tell you, if he was a lot more mobile, I mean, I've seen him in the past. It looks like his mobility is still pretty good. I mean, he's a guy who, God, he's elusive. He really does a nice job of, you know, if things break down, of finding his way. The thing that makes it hard is he finds a lot of different ways to escape, inside, outside, up the middle. You know, he puts a lot of stress on your defensive line, and it's a concern. It always is. I mean, the guy, you know, he's a really good football player, and you know, has great instincts back there in the pocket.
How much different do you have to approach the pass rush, like this week, maybe compared to the Michigan State game?
It's different, but obviously you can't, you know, if you're not pressuring, let's face it, you got one extra gap, you know, you got four guys and five blockers, and that creates issues and it creates space and things like that. So you got to rush, but you can't just, you know, squeeze and not get a rush in the guy's face. He'll hurt you throwing the football. So, you know, you got to pick your spots. You got to have a plan going in. I think we have a pretty good idea what we want to do. And I also am a realist. When you are rushing four, he's probably going to get out a couple times. You're not going to keep this guy hemmed in the pocket the whole game. That's unrealistic. I hope we do, but I would anticipate he's going to get out a couple times.
Well, this match where you limit Rex early on in the week, just after the meeting, you took at the game on Saturday.
Oh, we'll give him Rex. Rex, he's actually feeling pretty good today, but like I said, you know, you have 35 rushes and do what he did, and, you know, we need to, we'll limit him, especially early in the week, and might have to put handcuffs on him to get him out of there, but that's what we'll do.
Hey, Bo, the rushing numbers last year compared to this year are not terribly different statistically, but last year was so big play oriented. Yeah. You know, this year you're 5, 6, 7 yards, which is a chunk. How does that change the way that, you know, the way that you run an offense, the way that you think about the game? I mean, it seems like night and day.
It is night and day, and it's a good observation, because I said last year, you know, even when we were putting up some big numbers, that we weren't being very efficient, and we were living on the big play and the big chunks, and when people made us earn it all the way down the field, we struggled, and that's been dramatically different this year, and that's one of the things that we were trying to accomplish, and I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that, too. I mean, not only, you know, the rushing attack, I think we've had good balance. I think our audible system and the things that we've done of getting in and out of plays has helped us in that regards. I think Tim's really called some good football games, and we put a lot of stress on the defense in a lot of different ways. So I think there's a lot of things that contribute to it. But I think the one thing that hasn't been talked about a lot but is obvious, and knock on wood, I hope this is wood, but is we haven't killed ourselves penalty-wise, too. We've been a lot better there. And I think our tempo's helped us in that area, getting up on the ball early, we're not rushing at the end of the clock. And not, you know, because, you know, you get those 5-yard penalties, delay of games, you're rushing, all those things that take away your efficiency because you end up in first and 15, second and 15, those types of things. And it's hard to be efficient when that's happening. And that happened time after time for us last year. And we made a big emphasis of getting that corrected, and I think that's helped us a lot.
Because of that tempo, in the second half, what are you seeing from defenses that are facing it? Are you seeing them pretty gassed?
You know, I think that there's a reason why we've played well in the second half. I think that's one of them. But I also think, you know, you look the other day, and I think in that third quarter, I believe we had a 15-play drive and a 16-play drive, something like that. And to do that, you got to be, you know, I think they helped us. I thought Michigan State helped us a couple times with a couple penalties along the way that helped us. But, those are two drives where we, you know, didn't hurt ourselves. We converted a couple third downs, and we stayed efficient. We kind of stayed on track on most of those drives. And that lends to where not only getting points and keeping our guys on the field, but also that'll wear a defense down as the game goes on. And I think that I've seen a little bit of a culmination of that. And I don't brag about them enough, but I also think that, you know, you see how we've played in the second half, and how we've, you know, I wouldn't say we wore some teams down, but how we've stayed strong and finished games strong. It shows how good a job James Dobson and his crew do down in the weight room and in the conditioning and how hard our guys work in the offseason.
Well, what do you make of the Big Ten? I mean, Wisconsin gets beat twice in a row now. Iowa gets beat by Minnesota. It's kind of, what's your thoughts on how it's kind of gone?
I think it makes it a lot easier when you talk about your football team about if you better be ready each and every week, and you better be ready. We better be ready this week. This is going to be a heck of a test for our team coming off of last week. And we need to play well. We need to practice well, and we have to have our we got to be ready to play our best football Saturday because we will be challenged. And I think that you see that across the board throughout the Big Ten.
You kind of touched on this earlier, but just to make sure. You're saying that it's a big challenge for you, and that's partly because you don't want your guys to be feeling too good about themselves after beating Michigan State.
I just think it's you can get off track. You can get off, you know, and I have a lot of respect for this football team that's coming in here. A lot of respect on how they go about their business, how the programs run, how hard they play, and there's a lot of pride in this, and I tip my hat to Pat Fitzgerald and his staff. They'll be ready to play, and they're a good football team, and they're a well-coached football team.
Dinner looked like he played one of his best games of the year on Saturday. With a quarterback like Persu who can keep a play alive, how nice is it to have Dinner who can cover a guy for an extended period of time?
It's nice to have Dinner against anybody. He's a good football player, and I thought he played. You know, he competed, and he always does. The guy is as prideful a football player as I've been around, and he played like he always does. I think he's feeling healthy. He's feeling great, and he's playing good football.
How pleased have you been with Lance over the last couple of games?
Durrell?
Yeah.
He's just, we ask him to do a lot of different things, and he's what he's done over the last couple of weeks, what he's done since we've been here. Every time we've asked him to step up and fill a role and do something, he's always stepped up. I mean, the guy's been a wonderful guy to coach. I mean, he's a tremendous. I love having him on our football team. What he does for us.
Well, you talked about limited reps early this week. Do you think 30 carries a game is a sustainable burden for him, or do you need to be able to rely on those freshmen a little bit as the season goes on in his reps?
Well, I think we have used the freshmen a lot. We've mixed them in a lot. I mean, he hasn't had 30. Carries every game, and every week's going to be a little bit different. But I know if Rex, I know he'd like to have the ball 40 times. I mean, that's who he is. But every game's a little bit different. But we have, trust me, we have a lot of confidence in those freshmen.
Hey, you guys looked at recruiting Kane Colter, who plays for Northwestern now. What did you like about his game when you were recruiting? What do you see on him now? He's a quarterback and a wide receiver as well.
Yeah, he's a good player. He does a lot of, he's a versatile guy. I think he's just a really good athlete and somebody we think that, he can make plays. I mean, they find a lot of different ways. They obviously think a lot of them because they find a lot of different ways to get the ball in his hand.
Anything else, Coach?
Thanks.
And that's Bo Pelini's press conference here on ESPN, the Doug and Daddy Show. What did he say, Mary?
Lance Durrell! Lance Durrell! Lance Durrell!
Yeah, baby. Lance going to join us on the show tomorrow as well. A lot about the black shirts today. That was a majority of this press conference and making fun of Steve Sipple. I don't know. Sean Callahan this week on our Husker Lunch at Cunningham's coming your way on a Wednesday. We'll have that for you. So don't forget the Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12. And then Sean Callahan on hand to talk about the game this past weekend and all Husker news. Anything you want to talk about, he's going to break down Northwestern and then answer all of your Husker questions. Come early and enjoy lunch. Open at Cunningham's. And then our Husker Lunch starts Wednesday at 12 noon. Tomorrow, Daryl Morris and Tony Harper talking UNK and Hastings College football and Lance Thoreau. One other thing. And when you pick up the Sunday paper, Omaha, Lincoln, whatever it is, you can read the stories, but I always find some of the most interesting items because I get to be there and we get to be there as members of the media and cover the game. So we've seen most of the stuff. But when you have six or eight different people that are in different parts of the press box or interview room like the newspapers have, you can pick up different tidbits. And we were out there after Coach Pelini talked. You're in the main room, and then there's the outer room where all the assistant coaches are out in the kind of the lobby area there on the north. And here comes Larry the Cable Guy, who's going to be honored. I think that's tomorrow night in Hastings. Here comes Larry the Cable Guy literally through the press area with like 25 balloons. And some of them are like big, huge, gigantic dragon balloons. I don't know what it was for, a Halloween party. He goes, excuse me, guys, this is just the shortest way out of here. You know, it's stuff you don't get to see. And, of course, the Austin Cassidy was out there and told him how great the win was and just kept on rolling through. So it just one of those things you wouldn't normally see. Coach Pelini talking about Northwestern spread offense today in his press conference, talking about the defensive line. He can't just say, I hope our game plan from last week works this week, but it's got to be very similar without giving that away to Northwestern, that Nebraska is going to do the same thing. You can only hope that the defensive play this week against Northwestern is in the ballpark or as good as last week's play, because that was pretty unbelievable. Well, folks, as you get ready to go out here at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth, we want to tell you that Midway has everything you need online at thinkmidway.com and on the lot with their hassle-free pricing, which means it's stress-free at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Come on the lot. Their great sales staff will help you find the vehicle that meets your need and your budget. And you know what the price is right from the get-go, because it's on the window of everyone of their vehicles, new or pre-owned. And when you go to thinkmidway.com, you're already more than a couple of steps ahead of the game. You may narrow it down to the two or three vehicles that you want to look at when you get on the lot. Makes it easier on both sides. You know what the price is. You can go in confident that it will not take a long time, because you know what the price is. You know what the vehicle is. That's what you want. It's at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll be back to wrap it up next.
What do you get when you take an off-road legend and make it the most luxurious SUV in its class? Recognition. And the Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland Summit has gotten plenty of that. Which is understandable when you consider that its interior leather is more luxurious than that of the Lexus RX 350. It's even been named one of Ward Automotive's 10 best interiors. Just settle yourself into the heated and ventilated Napa leather trimmed seats and wrap your fingers around the hand-stitched leather of the wood steering wheel, and you'll agree that it's earned each and every one of its numerous awards. And as the accolades keep piling up, you have to wonder if the only thing our luxurious interior doesn't include is a trophy case. The 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever.
Most luxurious SUV, based on Overland model in 2011 Ward's middle sport utility vehicle segment when compared to the Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland Summit. AMCI testing certified, comparably priced and equipped models. Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
Farmers, investing in irrigation could be the best decision you'll ever make for your farm's future success. So why not invest in the best? Buy a quarter-mile T&L pivot irrigation system and save $6,500 during T&L's Invest in the Best Harvest Special. It's going on now. Call T&L Irrigation or your T&L dealer today to learn more. T&L, proven technology that works.
Doug and Daddy Show on I think Daddy, that's what he's doing today, working on his costume.
Steve Sipple?
Going as two Steve Sipples. Let's not compare those two. I think the best one he ever did was when he painted his head orange and put a stem on top and went as a pumpkin. That was pretty good. So have a safe and happy Halloween tonight, folks. And, of course, there's Monday Night Football, and you can enjoy it at the Chicken Coop in Kearney or Grand Island, or you can go right now and enjoy lunch. On Monday nights, you and your friends are invited to Wing It. Boneless wings are just 40 cents each, and you can choose from 13 different flavors. Get a minimum of 10. Heck, take the whole gang. Get 40. Get 100. Try all the different kinds of wings. That's the best part. You get to try something different when you get it at such a great deal. And, of course, they've also got bull fries in Kearney on Monday night as well, just $5.99. There's not a bad seat in the house to watch all of the action now that we're heavy into football. And before you know it, basketball is going to be tipping off, whether it's the college game, whether it's the pro game like the Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers tonight. They're there for you. Lunch specials every day. Great food and drink specials every night at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. The new Division II football poll is out, and for UNK, they are back up to number 8 in the country after their win over Western New Mexico. The only team to beat them, Colorado State Pueblo, beat Highlands 37-0 Saturday, and they have elevated to number 4 in the country because 2, 5, and 6 all lost this weekend. The former number 1 team, Minnesota Duluth, was one of those teams. They were 6th, and they got rolled by St. Cloud State 35-7, and St. Cloud State, by the way, is in UNK's region. So there you go. That's what's going on as far as football teams. Colorado Mines is up 2 spots to number 23. The Lopers go to Fort Lewis this weekend. Oh, Trent with this email. If you've ever read Hero of the Underground, you know Lou Holtz can go to hell. Ow! Wow! Irish Ken, I think that was directed at you. That had to do with the Peter brothers, I believe, and Damian Peter, with the neck injury, all of a sudden lost any contact to Lou Holtz of the Notre Dame program. Yikes. Ouch. Wow. That's kind of brutal. Also, just out, Nebraska's Division II Players of the Week, and it looks like Alex Pikerich, of UNK, is one of the winners this week of the award. Team high 10 tackles, and the Lopers win over Western New Mexico. 3.5 tackles for losses, 2 sacks. Defensive effort that was on the field for 108 plays, yet Western had just 26 yards on the ground. So there you go. Outstanding football. And hopefully we've touched on just about everything today that we needed to tell you about. We told you Levante David is one of the 16 semifinalists for the Bednarik Award, and Rex Burkhead is the Big Ten Football Player of the Week. By the way, Division II football or volleyball, maybe UNK moves up. Tampa, the number 1 team in the country, was upset over the weekend. And Eric's our Iowa fan, right?
Yes.
I haven't seen any emails from Eric, Iowa fan, who lost to Minnesota on Saturday, who Scott Van Pelt called the worst BCS team in the country, and they go out and beat Iowa. All I can say to that is, and the World Series, congratulations to all the St. Louis Cardinal fans out there. It still makes me queasy a little bit, and now La Russa's retiring. They were good enough to get into the playoffs, so you can't say that they backed their way in, I guess, even though they did. They didn't have to win a lot of games at the end because Atlanta just kept losing, and that's the way it goes. And then you got a hot team going into the playoffs. So had a lot to talk about on the Doug and Daddy show today. We better get out of here so we can get over to Scott Van Pelt. Lauren Cook arrested yesterday. Coach John Cook talked about that a little bit. You can hear that on the podcast if you missed it. We'll have that and Bo Pelini, all of his press conference, and you can go to our ESPN website, ESPNSuperstation.com. As you get ready for tomorrow's show, do it better than anyone else by Complete Nutrition, just north of Gordman's in Grand Island off Highway 281 and located in Kearney, just north of Sunmart on North 2nd Avenue. Oh, you know what tomorrow is? First Tuesday of the month, November, first Wednesday. They've got special deals the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of every month at our friends Complete Nutrition. If you're working out, have them help you. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you've been working out for years. They've got everything you need, from the powders, the supplements, the protein, the pills, the vitamins. It's all right there at Complete Nutrition in Kearney and Grand Island. I want to thank Jeff Ashby, head football coach for Giltner, also joining us today. Daryl Morris, Tony Harper, Lance Thorell, all on the show tomorrow. Have a great one, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!